Good morning, Rabotai.
Continuing our study of Eshen Hara, today's plus is given for Refuah Shelema, Sarah Bat Rivka. We have Refuah Nefesh, Refuah Guf, Bekarov, Amen.
We've been discussing the subject of Pinuk, spoiling. It's important to know, when you discuss this subject of spoiling children or spoiling people or spoiled people in general, it's important to realize that a spoiled person has a hard time enjoying life, or at least enjoying it to the fullest. So it's not just that he's spoiled rotten in the sense of he's disrespectful, he feels entitled. It's more than that. For himself, he's spoiled. Meaning he won't be able to enjoy so much of what life has to offer, either not to enjoy it at all or not to the extent that it could be enjoyed because of his unfortunate situation. When we give the proper direction, if we know the wisdom of how not to spoil somebody, we're giving them pleasure. And one of those avenues that brings pleasure in life is boundaries. Yeah. Of course, boundaries initially by the recipient who is given a boundary isn't appreciated because it seems like they're becoming less free and therefore the results will be less happy and less pleasure. That's the nature of a human being, that they like to be unlimited, unbound. They don't like to be between walls that are tight. Nature of a human being, we desire freedom in the fullest manner. But interestingly enough, it's actually the boundaries that make a person sameach, brings happiness to a person and joy in life. To the point that we could say that you're only able to enjoy the game of life if you're within the boundaries. It's like lehavdil, like a game of basketball or the game of tennis. You can only enjoy the game when you're in the lines. You can't enjoy the game when you're outside the lines. You're out of bounds. Foul ball, doesn't go. The game is enjoyed within the boundaries. If we would take off the lines of the tennis court, it would be much better because every ball would be in. So you'd say, wow, take off the net. We'll take off the lines. We'll make the fences hundreds of feet from where they are right now. So every ball you hit, no matter where you hit it,
it's good.
You're good. What a beauty. We found the solution. To anyone who really doesn't play tennis so well. But of course, then you don't enjoy the game anymore. The net and the lines is why you enjoy the game. And that is true in life, much more than sports. When you don't have lines, like today's society. We live in a society that actually not only lives outside the lines, they preach that this is the way to enjoy life. Hollywood, no limits. Madison Avenue. Limitation is viewed as an enemy of mankind. But it's exactly opposite of the direction that a person needs to take to have a life of pleasure. Boundaries equal pleasure. People who are spoiled don't have boundaries, don't have the right boundaries. And because they don't have the right boundaries, then they can't enjoy life. They're living outside of the lines. They're playing tennis without a net. Life has very little to offer. So actually, boundaries is what equals a life of pleasure. Boundaries create healthy people, creates healthy relationships, and creates healthy and enjoyable lives. Even though initially it seems all of the opposite, only the Creator can make such an unbelievable thing, where the very thing that brings you joy is the very thing that you think is taking your pleasure away. Only the Creator could do this. Automatically, we jump away from things that are keeping us within boundaries. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be put within any lines, because we think it's taking away our happiness. But in reality, this is the road. And that's why such a big part, maybe the biggest part of Hinuch, of giving a person guidance, whether it's our children, our friends, our students, ourselves, the greatest Hinuch, we speak of Hinuch, we speak about self-Hinuch too, as we mentioned yesterday. Sometimes we listen to classes like this about Hinuch and we're automatically thinking about our children or about people that are under us. But Hinuch starts at home, starts with the person. There's no greater student in your life than yourself. You're actually your best student, because usually when you deal with students, you don't know if they're gonna listen to you or not. When you deal with students, they may have a different mindset than you do. Luckily, when you're your own student, you're in a good place, because you could actually listen to yourself. And usually, a person is connected to himself, which means whatever you're saying, the mind of the recipient, which is you, understands it very well. You have a buy-in already. The most important hinuch is the hinuch of oneself. So it's hard to talk about giving hinuch to others and ignoring hinuch of ourselves. Any subject we talk about in hinuch starts at home. So again, the rule is boundaries equal pleasure. In fact, in the world of gematria, you have two words that will give us nice insight. The Hebrew language is very rich and can give us insight from the words itself. Ha-hinuch, which means the raising of others or ourselves, ha-hinuch, adds up to 89, which is the same numerical value as la-homa. La-homa means for the walls. If you have walls, you have hinuch. If you have guidelines, if for yourself, the people you care about. That's what chinuch is. Creating boundaries is the very subject of chinuch. I mean, if a person is uneducated on the whole subject of chinuch, and you want to give it to him in one word, you want to narrow it down to one word, if we could do that, we would choose choma, creating boundaries. That's your job. No greater job than that. Also in Hebrew, the word mefanek. Mefanek means to spoil. Is the numerical value of 270, which is the same as the word kilkel. Kilkel means yirun. You spoil, yirun. Boundaries are the key to success in this world. We've mentioned this before, but it's worthwhile to do hazara, that we see this reality, we see this specific point in a very strong way in the first story of the Torah. You don't have to go very far. Usually, our rabbis teach us that the first of anything in the Torah has a lot of wisdom on that subject. So imagine the first story of the whole Torah. What a story. What is it all about? Such an interesting story, because when you read it, it seems to be very far and disconnected from us. But it's talking about people living in Gan Eden, people who don't have to work, people who don't have to make a living, people who are being commanded on things that have very little to do with us. You read the story of Adam and Hava in Gan Eden, and you really don't have much to learn from it, except that because of them we're cursed, that we have death in the world, that we have to work, we have to struggle. That's all you get from the story. But there's so much more to that story. The most probably shocking part of that story, if we would have read that story as mature people for the first time, which we generally don't, because we learn it when we're little. But if we would have read that story for the first time as mature adults, with a mature mind, we would have a very hard time understanding what is going on there. Specifically, we see that Adam and Hava are in this place called Gan Eden, the Garden of Pleasure. It's a different reality than we have here in this world. Adam and Hava were just created. They're the purpose of life, a whole creation. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem created the world in 6 days. And finally, Adam and Hava are the last ones. Just like the Kala is the last one to march in. She's the focus of the evening, the Hatan, and then the Kala. So too, Adam HaRishon came into a world that was created all for him. All the oceans and all the mountains and all the trees and all the everything you see in this world was made for Adam and Hava. And they're placed in Gan Eden. So now, the purpose of creation has been created. And now, we have to give him his purpose. He is the purpose of creation. And he himself has a purpose. He has a mission. Hashem comes to tell him what he needs to do. So if someone would have guessed, if I didn't tell you what was about to happen, so what would Hashem tell Adam and Ishon and Hava on the first day of creation? So my guess would have been that this would have been the first time that Hashem gives the Ten Commandments. It's no less than Matan Torah.
when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the tablets and says, here, here are the 10 basic principles of life. And then there's more. But let's start. We have only one day today. Let's start with 10. If not, maybe Shema Yisrael would have been the right commandment to give Adam and Hava. Give them something that they were created for. Give them a mission. Do you want them to study Torah? You want them to be kind to one another? What do you want from them? What did you create them for?
And shockingly, when you read the Torah as a mature person, you see the most unusual discussion, the most unusual mission statement. God tells them, you see all these trees? So you can eat from them. Enjoy. They have a garden of pleasure. A lot of good things here. They see that one tree there? He says, don't eat it. Don't eat from it. Anybody listening to this says, what? That's the mission of life? Not to eat from one of the, who knows, hundreds, thousands of trees? That's why Adam was put on this planet. So God to tell him, don't eat from that tree? He didn't tell him what to do. If he would have told him, eat from all the trees, it would have been a little better. At least it's like telling him to eat matzah and pesach. We have mitzvot to eat things. At least it's something. Even then we would have said, that's it. We came into this world to eat fruits. But to say to him that you're here so that you don't eat from that tree, it's very hard to understand. That's my mission statement. Don't eat from that tree. It's very hard to understand. But that would be the only commandment that Hashem gave Adam and Hava on the day of their creation. The purpose of life, purpose of creation, here. What's your purpose? Don't eat from that tree. First of all, it sounds easy. And then it sounds to be very spiritual. But that's the story. That's what we learned. And in that story, we find that indeed they make a mistake. They didn't like the boundary. They didn't like to be told what not to eat. They're humans. We're their children. And of course, we know they ate. And when they ate from that fruit, they got thrown out of Gan Eden. They got thrown out of the garden of pleasure. They got a slip saying, you're out. Dismissed. And then we have this new reality called this world, which we don't call it the garden of pleasure, because there are a lot of things in this world that are painful, struggles. There is a lot of pleasure in this world, but it also comes with a lot of difficulty. Why did that happen? Because Adam and Hava, they didn't follow the rules. That's the story. The first story of the Torah. What is it all about? Is just a historical assessment of how we got here? Meaning someone wants to know how you get here? Oh, you know how? Because we used to be in Gan Eden. They ate from the fruits. That's how we ended up here. Are we just trying to tell people how they got to this planet? And live the way they live. Seemingly, it's much deeper than that. And perhaps the simple answer to this question is that maybe Hashem wasn't necessarily giving Adam and Hava their mission in life. But he was giving them the way to live in order to achieve pleasure in this world. Because we know, like this Ramchal says in Mesilat Yesharim, that Hashem created us lehit aneg. He created us to have a life of pleasure, an eternal life of pleasure. And that's why when Hashem created us, Adam and Hava, where did He put them? In the most appropriate place, Gan Eden, the garden of pleasure. That's the purpose of why He made them. Hashem created Adam and Hava to give them pleasure. And therefore, the first instructions was in order to facilitate how they would be able to live constantly in a world of pleasure. And what was the way to live in the world of pleasure? Don't eat from there. It's a very loud message that the boundaries of things we cannot do is what creates a life of pleasure. What makes Gan Eden available to a person is their boundaries. You can't live in Gan Eden without boundaries. In fact, when you cross the boundary, you got thrown out of Gan Eden. Which means that when you cross your boundaries in life, you lose your pleasure in this world. That's the message. Gan Eden isn't just a place, it's a reality. A reality that we can create in our world. We can live in this world, and it could be a world of Gan Eden. It could be a world of pleasure. It may not be the same place where Adam and Hava were, but it's something within our abilities. But their formula is boundaries. When you cross the boundary, then you basically crossed the line of pleasure. That is the first story of creation. The word Eden, interesting word. Eden is pleasure. The Ibn Ezra in Sefer in Megillat Kohelet has an interesting explanation of the word itself, Eden. So he says that it's haser het, that the word Eden is three letters. Ayin, Dalet, Nun, Eden. But he says, really, there's an invisible head in this word. It's not there. We don't say it. We don't write it. It's invisible. But it's part of the word. Haser he. And therefore, the right word here is actually that the word Eden is made up of two words. Ad, until, hen, until, here. Henna means here. Ad, hen. The word pleasure, not only the way to get there is boundaries, the word itself means boundaries. When you live with Ad Hen, When you take the invisible head and you put it in the word, that's why it's invisible, baby. Because visibly it looks the opposite. When you look with your eyes, it seems that the boundaries of life make you not happy. It takes away your pleasure. That's why the air is invisible. It's not in the letter. It's not in the word. But if you're able to see the invisible hair, then you understand that Ad Hen is Eden. Do you see the invisible hair? That question of love. This is the story of the life. First story. Hashem tells every human as he comes into this world, just like he told Adam and Hava, your first commandment, before we get to the higher accomplishments of life, your first commandment, just to be able to live in a world of pleasures, so you'll be able to do more and more. You go to higher pleasures, but you gotta be in the right place. You gotta be in the game. The basic game is Ad Hen. So when we don't give the proper limits and boundaries to ourselves and to our children, while with no doubt it seems like we're giving them a life of pleasure, it's either a life of pleasure where they can do whatever they want, or I want them to be good kids. Because I want them to be good kids. So I have to give them boundaries. Otherwise, they won't be good kids. Wrong. Mistake. The first story of creation says it's a mistake. You're not giving them boundaries so they could be good kids. That's a misleading understanding of life. It seems almost that we're sacrificing pleasure to be good. That's the way perhaps parents understand it, and that's for sure the way children understand it. Oh, they want me to be good, so now I have to suffer in my life so I could be a good kid. It's like, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be good. That's the way people look at things. Who told you I want to be good, that you're training me to be good? When did you ask my opinion? I don't want to be good. I want to enjoy life. No, but come on, you gotta be a good person. You gotta be in control. You gotta be. Stop it already. I want to enjoy life. Leave me alone. You want to be good? Good for you. Now you understand why there's a lot of friction between parents and teachers and rabbis and their students and their children. It's the fight between being good and enjoying life. For most people, they want to enjoy life. Some people also want to be good. And some don't even care about that. Not, at least not when it's up against enjoyment. Enjoyment? Good. Come on. That's the battle that's going on. The battle that's going on within every person. And the battle that's going on in the homes of people who care for their children. And classrooms of rabbis and teachers who care for their students. So what's going on there? It's the battle that of trying to make someone good and he just wants to enjoy. What do you want from me? That's really, if you want to sum it up, that's what's going on in life. That's the first story of creation. It's happening every moment. And every home, open the door, it's going on, and there's the same story. We think, don't do that, be good. But the first story of creation says, no, that's not the chinuch. The chinuch isn't to be good over enjoying life. Is that what you're teaching them? Ad Hen. You're telling them,
You need to stay away from this so that you can enjoy life. It's not the battle of good versus pleasure. It's the battle of pleasure to no pleasure. I'm giving you boundaries because I want you to enjoy life. That has to be the message. It's the message to ourselves. When we have a struggle, when the Creator says, Aden, don't do that. Don't eat that. We say, ah, come on, stop it. Stop it already. I want to enjoy life. What's the difference if I eat that? The Creator says, you think I gave it to you to be good? I gave it to you to enjoy. That first story in creation is a story of every time Hashem speaks to you. The first story is a entry of every time God talks to you. It's all about the same thing. God is telling you, whenever I talk to you, it's about your pleasure. Just know that. Whenever I tell you to do something, it's for your pleasure. If I tell you don't do it, it's for your pleasure. The first story isn't just one story. It's the first of all stories. Every time God opens and says something to you, it's for your pleasure. Life isn't about being good over enjoying. Life's about enjoying. Actually, being good is the way to enjoy. But sometimes we make that mistake with ourselves. When we hear certain boundaries that Hashem tells us to make with our mouth, with our eyes, with our actions, with our relationships. And we take it as, oh, that's the religious thing. That's the good thing. That's the... That whole translation is a misunderstanding, and that's why the Creator gave that first story. So that you know whenever He talks to you, it's not about being good, it's about your pleasure. It's something greater than being good. It's called enjoying. That's the way God trains us, if we're willing to just listen. And that's the way we have to be fathers and mothers to our children. That they need to understand that the boundaries we're creating is for their pleasure. It's a very big difference in approach. More than you being good, I want you to enjoy. Want me to enjoy? Let me do whatever I want. Oh, no. It's not the way it works. It's not how joy, pleasure, it's not how it works. Real joy that's continuous, that's deep, that's real, can only happen in boundaries. That's the message that you give over to a person. And even if you had a son or daughter that maybe you woke up 30 years too late, it's never too late to sit down and explain yourself. It's never too late to explain to somebody maybe a message that didn't get across so well in the early years. So maybe you didn't know about it. Of course you cared for them, that's why you did it. But what part of them did you care for? You have to re-explain everything. Aden. Aden. Till here.
Boundaries
is what creates pleasure. It's not an aside that you can have boundaries and have pleasure. It's not a side point. Boundaries create the pleasure. Of course, you have to know what the boundaries are. For that, you need wisdom. What are boundaries? What's the correct boundary? Because they are unlimited situations.
Yeah. What is it that I can't eat? What's the forbidden fruit? What's the forbidden fruit of my eye? What's the forbidden fruit of my ears? The way I socialize. What's the forbidden fruit in socializing? Is it forbidden fruit? When you're around people, there is a forbidden fruit.
What is it?
Don't go there. Don't cross the line. Watch your mouth. Watch how you talk. Watch who you spend your time with. Everywhere we go, there are boundaries. When to speak, when not to speak. In front of wise people, don't talk. Listen. It's a boundary. Everywhere, anything that you do, there is going to be asked of us in life, boundary. It's called the forbidden fruit. The forbidden fruit of Gan Eden wasn't a one-time commandment. It is an eternal commandment. Everywhere you go in life, anything you do, there's going to be the forbidden fruit. Can you stay away from it? That is the question of pleasure. What a perspective that the Creator taught us on that first day. The whole different view of life. Totally opposite of the world that we're in today. The no limits of Madison Avenue is the exact opposite of what brings life pleasure, and we see the results. How many celebrities do we have to interview and learn about them to realize how lonely, how miserable, how unsuccessful, lacking relationships that are meaningful, constantly having to medicate their miseries with trips and planes and pictures, medication all day long. They're medicating themselves. Got to buy another dress. You have to go another place. We have to make more noise here. It's all medication. And the fools of the world are looking and saying, wow, I wish I could have that title. Wow. Why can't I have that medication too? You ever imagine a guy studying medication? He's getting a shot and he's saying, oh, I wish I could get that too. How come I can't get that? These people's lives is all a pharmacy. Everything they do is another medication. Every trip is a medication. Don't forget that. Everywhere they go is medication. But the fools of the world are watching and saying, I want to go there too. Why? You wanna be sick also? Yeah, I gotta go to where they go. What do? They get yachts for the summer? I'm doing that too. Why? Because they do it. It's okay to have a boat. Nothing wrong with that. But when you do it in a way to express that you're like the sick people of the world, then you're basically signing up for a sick thing. Why are you going to that place? Because that's where they go. That's where all the sick people go. Wow. It's like a maruk. It's not an exaggeration. It's real. You have to buy that item. Why? Because that's the medication that they take. So why shouldn't I take it? Aren't you realizing that the world is completely in the dark? They look at medication as something of pleasure. You think I'm exaggerating? all around us. That's all we see. Whether it's the celebrities, whether it's the rich, whether it's the poor that want to be rich. The people who live without boundaries, trying to medicate themselves because their emptiness is too hard to bear. And the people who don't understand the missing hair, they don't see it, it's invisible. They don't see the missing hair in the word Eden. They run and they flock. What a powerful story, that story. It's the story, Adam and Hava's story, is the story of my life every single day, every single moment. It's the commandment for eternity. You want to stay in Gan Eden? Make sure you stay away from the forbidden fruit. That's the gift we give our children when we raise them with boundaries. We're not trying to make them good. Trying to give them pleasure. Because we know better that it's actually the boundaries of life that create the pleasure of life. When you have boundaries, you don't need medication. Have a wonderful day.